Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm fine. At least the weather's getting a little bit better. It was a kind of a bad week for weather.
I was wanting to know what you were going to say about that because...
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know if we would survive.
Well, when
I
you...
mean, I don't remember it ever being this cold.
No.
I just can't remember it being this cold. Where that you just... It's so brutal you don't want to go outside.
I don't remember you ever, at least in a long time, being able to count the temperature on one or two hands.
That's exactly right. I mean, when it says when the chill factor is 6 below, you know it's cold.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and when they're saying, you know, unless you have to go out, don't do it. And if you do, you know, you've got to wear 5 layers of clothes, have a mask on. And my thought was, what if these idiots have a wreck, then they're going to freeze to death.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I believe you would real quick.
Yes. It's dangerous no matter what. I mean, even if there's not snow, even if there's not ice, you've still got the cold temperatures. And if you're exposed to it for too long, and it doesn't take very long, you know, a few minutes can do a whole lot of damage in a hurry. So, yeah, it's dangerous. Real dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And, you know, we had some ice, some snow, blowing snow. So it's been interesting. Now, they tell me, next week, it'll be in the 70s. That's what makes people sick. I mean, you go from this Arctic front, then you go to summertime. I mean,
wow.
What the heck? And they were telling, the schools were telling the children, be sure you layer and layer and layer. If you have to wear 4 layers to school, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it should be a home day at that point.
It should be a home day. What is one day going to hurt? Or two? I mean, because we actually had 2 really bad days.
Yeah.
And a lot of the schools did close. The ones that had smart principals. The ones that didn't, they opened.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I mean, you know, I just don't know what's wrong with them.
I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, it's like it's almost like you're like living someplace like in Wisconsin or someplace up north.
That's what I thought. And I've never been to Wisconsin.
No.
But I guarantee it couldn't be any colder than it was here.
You wouldn't think. But boy, at this point, you know, I'm starting to wonder if maybe like it's colder down south than it is, you know, up north. It's almost like it's flipping. It's like it seems like it's getting colder down here than it does, you know, in the northern parts. So
I just can't imagine, you know, what created all this.
I don't know. It's really strange. I mean, between the cold temperatures and then because it's strange, even, you know, to be this cold at this time of February is odd. But then you say next week it'll be in the 70s. That's odd. That's warmer than usual. And it's just like, what happened to, like, all the middle ground? It's like, you know, 40s, 50s, you know, in through there. Where's all that? It's just either one extreme or the other. It's weird.
That's right. It's either so cold you cannot go out, or it's going to be a short weather. For the kids.
Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks ago, the children were wearing shorts at school.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't understand it.
No.
And now then, they've got on everything they own at school.
Yeah. They're bundled up like Eskimos this week, and then next week, they're going to be wearing shorts. And then you got, when it gets up in the 70s, you know it'll happen. All the trees and the flowers and all the things outside will start to bloom. They'll think, oh, it's spring. So all that'll, will you know, start to bloom, and then that'll mess with your allergies. And then probably a week after that, you'll get back into the freezing temperatures, and then it'll go all crazy again. It's
strange. You know, usually at Easter, you know, it gets cold.
Yeah.
But this time, it's not even going to wait for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right in the middle of this thing.
Wow. I can't imagine, as we get closer to Easter, what that's going to be like.
I mean, I don't know. But, and you know, my tank is full of water. I mean, we also had rain a week ago, heavy rains.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the pond. And it is full. I mean, absolutely full for this time of year.
Wow. This year, I think we're only into February, and we're already into a bunch of firsts. It's like things we've
That's
never
right.
seen.
We've got a lot of furs that we were not expecting.
Yeah. Wow. Well, at least you can say you lived through some interesting things that have never happened before. That's kind of neat.
That's right. And, you know, I wondered how many wrecks they had yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Or Thursday, even.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't heard, but I was going to look it up because I'll bet they had a ton of them.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. You know, and especially, you know, it's just like if there's like a ton of snow on the road. OK, sometimes people know, OK, well, this is dangerous. I should watch out. But boy, when you get just like when you get ice like that's underneath snow and it gets all compacted like that, that's dangerous. Even if the roads are clear and you have blowing snow, people don't think that it's all that dangerous. But boy, if you just have a light flurries and that blowing snow goes across the road, that's more dangerous than people ever realize. It's really bad.
It is dangerous. And a lot of people don't know how to drive in the first place. So it really adds to the drama out there on the road.
Yeah. Most people I know don't know how to drive when it's sunny and 80.
Much less when it's bad.
Yeah.
you know, I saw some men the other day that didn't know how to drive, and I was shocked. Last Saturday, I'm driving down this little two-lane road, and this man pulls out, didn't stop at the stop sign, gunned it to get on the little road, and when he did, he lost control there for a few minutes. He was fighting to get control of his pickup.
Oh.
I mean, It was going from side to side. It wasn't straightening out.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he finally got control, but I said, see there? You almost wrecked it.
Wow. That's.
I mean, it was a dangerous deal he did.
Yeah. And boy, you're watching that thing just like, you know, like clutching the handle or the steering wheel or something, thinking, oh, man, please get control of that. And it just.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, I didn't know if he was going to there for a minute because it was going left, right, I mean, side to side.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, you're watching that play out in real time thinking, man, this is not going to end well. But fortunately,
that's
he got
control.
That's
what I was afraid of because just a little two-lane road.
Yeah.
And for him to have pulled a stunt like that.
I don't know. People just do crazy things sometimes. That's just.
They do, and I don't know why, but they do.
Dangerous. Maybe people do crazy things because the weather is crazy. You don't know what to expect. So they respond. I don't know. It's weird. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancial.com. Midland.com.
So what are the highlights this week besides the weird
one? Well, we're bidding a lot of policies. We've finally got some that came our way. The bidding should be over by Monday afternoon late. We bid a lot of good policies. Some of them were 15 months, some of them 30 months, some really good ones.
Wow.
And we threw the others out. We threw the 97-year-old out. They sent us a 97-year-old, and I'm laughing. I go, do they really think we're that crazy that we would bid this thing? I mean, we've been there and done that.
Wow. They tried to slip one of those in. I can't believe it.
Yeah, they were trying to slip it in, thinking we might, you know, be desperate that day or out to lunch or some silly thing. And so we did catch that right away and send them a little note and said, thanks, but no thanks.
Well,
but the others are good policies. You know, everything from colon cancer to breast cancer, several different ones that look really good.
Wow.
And we don't know how many we'll get, but I hope we get them all.
Yeah. I mean, you've been looking for some for a while now, and it's...
It's been really hard this spring, or if I can even call it spring yet. This first quarter has not been easy. We've lost two or three big ones that we really wanted. So I'm hoping that we get these. We've bid them hard. We've bid them good. And maybe we'll get our share of these.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, typically in past years, it seemed like there was a trend where there was a lot of they would come out and they'd have this huge budget for the whole year. They'd pretty much blow the whole budget in the first quarter and then just kind of like fade away. And then you just kind of like wide open for everything else. But things have kind of changed a little bit. And this year you've seen some really odd things when it comes to bidding. So
things we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Usually there's a lot of people that need to sell their policy, because of the cost of the cancer treatment. And, first of the year, they're ready to go to the hospital or whatever, so they need to get this money in. But it hadn't been that way this year, and we just haven't had that many. It's just been like one a week or every 2 weeks. And so these came in this week, and we were really thankful for those. And they look real great. The medical is good on them. 30 months, I think it'll happen. And the 15-month one is so short, that should be a good policy for everybody if we get it.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned 15 months. I'm like, wow, that's sometimes, 24-ish is kind of like, I would say, yeah, just about average, but.
Yeah, the average 24, 28. And I like the 28s. I've always liked them because it seems like they come in early.
Yeah.
We have certain types of cancer that are going to come in early, and some we don't know about. But pancreatic, if we could get one of those, we know that's coming in early.
Yeah.
So we love to have those. And breast cancer, we've done well on all of them. We had, I think, one come in late, but the others have all come in on time or early.
Yeah. Yeah, I know
of the
those.
The treatment that these people go to do, it's astonishing to me that they won't do tried and true medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They loved going to Mexico. And I'm telling you, folks, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, people, they look for anything that will possibly help, and a lot of times it doesn't. So those are really, I would almost venture to say that those are probably the biggest ones that people are attracted to the most. When you get those, fill up quickly, I would say.
They do, because when they read that they've been to Mexico, they know the same thing I know, that it's delayed the treatment.
Yeah.
And when you delay the treatment, it's spreading during that time. It's getting in more lymph nodes. It's metastasizing to other places. So that's what you have to really watch.
Yeah. And you've done this long enough that you've got the numbers to back that up. It's not just a theory or a guess or.
No, we have the numbers on breast cancer. We know how it works.
Yeah.
And, the ones that we do over and over, we can tell you if it's already spread, where it's spread to, and what is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to go to the lower parts. And lots of times it goes to the ribs, all these other places. And if I see it's already in the ribs, I know it's a done deal.
Yeah.
Because once it gets in all your ribs, you don't have a chance.
Yeah. You've done this long enough, you've seen that many, many times. So
we've seen it many times. And usually that's the first place. And they'll say it's in a T4 or T7 rib. And so it has spread and it's going down.
Yeah. And so the bidding is underway. You say what, maybe Monday
bidding
afternoon?
Bidding is underway. We'll know first of the week if we got all these or how many we got or what we got. So we're anxious to get everybody in policies after we lost that Bidner policy. We had that all set, and, the wife just didn't agree to it. I mean, this guy's selling her policy, and she has not agreed to the sale. Well, nobody knew it.
Wow.
I mean, the guy is going to sell his wife's policy because he wants to invest in something. And, she didn't sign off.
Yeah.
We had all the money raised and ready to close.
Wow.
And she wouldn't sign off. And we found out the hard way.
Boy, that's just, that's just icky.
It was. I'm glad we didn't meet this guy, but of course he was from up north.
Oh.
And, yeah. They do crazy things.
They do, especially if they're from New Jersey.
Hey, we've been seeing cars from Michigan here.
Oh, my
These
goodness.
People are coming in. Hey, did you know that not only, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week, not only have we started, it'll be opening next year, the Texas New York Stock Exchange,
uh-huh.
But now the real New York Stock Exchange is moving their Chicago branch to Texas also. So we're going to have two or three stock exchanges in Texas.
Goodness.
In downtown Dallas.
Wow. This is going to...
I mean, I'm in shock.
Yeah.
Because I know there are movers and shakers, and the Texans are doing the Texas Stock Exchange. These guys have all put up all this money to bring it here. But then the New York Stock Exchange was very jealous when they saw this happening. And they said, well, we'll just transfer that Chicago branch to Dallas. And so there's going to be a New York Stock Exchange here, the Texas Stock Exchange, and then the NASDAQ will probably come in. Who knows?
Wow.
And Colonel Sanders, you know, has been a Kentucky landmark for, you know, 100 years. And they're moving their headquarters to Dallas.
Really?
Yeah, Colonel Sanders is moving to Dallas. All these big companies are coming to Dallas, and maybe that's why they're opening all these stock exchanges. I don't know.
Is it possible to have too many stock exchanges in existence, or is this...
Apparently not. I mean, Dallas, you wouldn't think, could support two.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one, you know, I think is really going to help because people don't have to know somebody in New York City, you know, to do all these things. They're not sending their money out of state. It'll be right here in Texas, which I think is going to really be nice. But they say there's so many big companies coming that that's why they decided to do that.
Wow.
Because so many CEOs are moving their companies here.
I mean, that is such a great sign. I mean, that's going to do wonders for the economy just, you know, in Texas alone. I mean, it's just to have that much because all the business and all the people that will come with it and then all the
Oh, yeah,
the
it's going to be millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then out here at McKinney, little old McKinney, they're fixing to put in a commercial airport.
Are they really?
I mean, that's how things are going here. They've decided that they're going to have commercial planes flying to McKinney, Texas, little McKinney.
I didn't think it was big enough to...
Who would think it was big enough for this? But they, it looks like they're going to approve the bonds to do it.
Wow.
But you know, we're going to have that new deal here in Frisco. You know, that big entertainment deal that's going to be like a Disney World. So it's fixing to be... hot spot.
Yeah. Like. I mean, it's, I guess if anybody that was thinking about maybe relocating to someplace, you know, in another state, thinking about going someplace, you know, this is the time to do it before all this actually hits. Cause I'm sure that property values and prices and all that are going to, if they haven't already, start to go up. And so if you want to get on, I guess on the ground floor, so to speak, you want to do that. And so you move into the area now, before prices go, you know, crazy and start rising with all the demand. So, I mean, it's.
Well, and the division of Texas Instruments is fixing to spend $300 million, at Alliance Airport building a facility. They're going to spend $300 million over there.
Really?
So this is fixing to get really big, it looks to me like.
My goodness. I mean, and then you got to wonder, you know, are with all this that's fixing to come to East Texas, is there going to be enough, and surely they're planning this, but the infrastructure, like the highway system, the parking, the amount of traffic and the volume.
Somebody said yesterday, said, you know, why is it that they build the homes, they build these big developments before they build the highways? And that's a good question. You know, why do they do that? And then they say, oh, we've got to tear all this down. We've got to have highways here.
Yeah,
you know?
They're doing it backwards.
But I don't know any other place in Texas where this much is going on. I mean, it's a hotbed right now.
My goodness.
And they say out here by us, they're going to build 5,000 homes.
Jeez.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there.
Remember, we still don't have that grocery store. I mean.
No, but you'll have homes and you'll have plenty of property taxes to go with them.
That's right. And it's just amazing. Now, across the highway, where they call it Northlake, HEB is going to try to build a grocery store over there, which would be close.
Really?
But it's not going to be on this side.
No.
I'd like to meet the people who never would let them put anything in Argyle, Texas.
I'm sure.
I'm curious about what kind of people these were They did not even want a grocery store.
You'd have a thing or two to say to them, I'm sure, if you ever met them.
I'd probably understand it then.
Yeah, they'd get an earful. But, I mean, this is all great. I mean, this is just, you know, every bit of this is just a, I mean, I know there's a lot of population and a lot of things are going to happen, but boy, just for the economy alone, I mean, these are just all so great. And these are all big things too, not just a couple of little, you know, things here or there that'll pop up. I mean, you know, between the exchanges, between, you know, other businesses moving in. And then you've got, you know, the big, like Disney-like park theme thing that's coming. I mean, it's just, this is just huge. Not only just for like the people that live here, but then the tourism dollars that'll come with it. This is just all positive forward movement. This is great.
And, you know, all these big corporations are bringing a lot of employees with them. And then the ones that don't want to come, you know, they'll be hiring here. So the economy, I would think, would be out of sight.
Yeah.
You know, because there's going to be so much money passing around.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, I don't think I've seen this kind of a surge, an explosion I don't know if I want to call it revenue or what you want to call it, but there's such a boom in the economy like this. I mean, this is just huge.
And, you know, all these companies are moving from other states, by the way.
Yeah.
So people have to think about that. They're not comfortable where they are. They don't have the freedom that you have in Texas as far as corporations. We don't have the regulations they have everywhere else.
Yeah.
So this is why they're coming to Texas. They're moving their corporations here. Because the freedom to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have all these insane laws, like environmental laws, where you can't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's very expensive to pick up and move a company's headquarters, and to do it, it's got to make sense, and it more than makes sense. You know, it's like the cost of moving the benefit from that is just it's just crazy. It's just night and day. So that's why people are moving in droves. It makes perfect sense. I don't blame them. Really.
And, you know, In-N-Out Burger, they're moving out of California.
Yeah.
All these companies, they say the regulations are so bad, they can't get ahead.
Yeah.
You know, even if you can pay what they're asking you to pay hourly for your hourly employees, the regulations tie you down to where you don't make a profit.
Yeah. I mean, it's more difficult. I mean, what they're going from, I think they're going from California to, isn't it just outside Nashville or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, they're getting out of there.
Yeah. I don't blame it. But
Texas is going to be so big and so busy.
Yeah. I would almost be willing to say that Dallas is probably going to at some point become the new New York. As far as like headquarters for businesses, as far as a lot of financial things happening, I mean, it just seems like the growth is just, it's huge.
I think it will be. I think people that don't want to deal with New York, those big companies will be here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because of the environmental freedoms here. You don't have the taxes here. You know, there's just so many things that are better in the Lone Star State.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's just, I mean, these are things we've already known, you know, but
yeah, we already
other
know
people,
all this.
They're just now finding out.
So yeah, they're just finding out how good it is to live here.
Yeah.
And as I said, these semiconductor companies, they're moving their headquarters here and moving up here to McKinney.
Yeah,
I mean, that may be why all this is happening. And McKinney is a small town. And, you know, they're going to build a regional airport. And apparently it's because the semiconductor companies and all this are going to need a way to get in and out. And they won't have to come into Dallas to fly in and out.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then after they have, you know, an actual airport, that's going to draw in more people because they're going to say, oh, wow, we have, you know, great access and now it's convenient. And that small town is no longer going to be a small town, because people will start to realize, oh gosh, we have, you know, easy access in and out, and you know, it's kind of sparse at the moment, so they're going to get in on the ground floor instead of dealing with all the you know, congestion where you know, like maybe other people are in the middle of, like in the middle of downtown Dallas. And so it's going to, that's just going to fuel more growth. Just having the airport alone is going to attract more people.
I think so. Yeah, having a regional airport up there, the fathers there are smart. You know, they say, you know, if we do this, we're going to get all these people moving up here and putting their companies in.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, it's like just that whole area is just exploding. And it's just, you know, and it's a good, what, 5, 10, even I would say even a 15-year plan. I mean, this is just something that's not just an overnight thing. Once this ball starts rolling, it's almost like a snowball rolling down a hill. It's just going to feed itself, and it will attract more people, and then more businesses, and then more entertainment, and then more, like highways, and then more, you know, businesses, and then more shopping, and then more restaurants, then more housing, and then more. It's just it almost feeds itself, and just the growth. It's just once this kind of thing starts,
the growth is going to be tremendous for this area. It really is.
Wow.
And these companies are bringing their employees, the semiconductor companies, all these different ones. It's going to make a big difference. As to how Dallas will be 10 years from now.
Oh, yeah. It'll be unrecognizable, I'm sure. It's just...
They'll have to build a lot more freeways.
yeah.
You know, after the fact, they're going to build some more freeways.
And whoever said that was right. I mean, they really should plan the infrastructure first, you know, get all the roads done, and then start building all the stuff, the businesses, the subdivisions, the houses, the condos and the restaurants and all that, you know, build it around the freeways and the highways so that people can get around because once they build all the buildings and all the stuff, you know, to redo the roads and reconfigure and expand and all that, I mean, it just it bogs things down and shuts things down, because those construction projects, they last for years sometimes.
Yeah, it takes a long time. And out here, you know, they're saying they're going to make our four-lane highway.
Yeah.
Well, that would mess us up for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why didn't they do it a long time ago? Instead of now, they say, oh, we need this four-lane highway. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. We're going to go from a two-lane to a four-lane to a six.
Yeah. And then it doesn't stop. And so it's constant road construction for really the foreseeable future, forever, really, is what it seems like. So you would think that, you know, since they know all this is coming, be proactive and build the roads to handle it. So great things for our economy. How are we on annuities? Bonuses?
Well, annuities are ready to go. You know, I've had people calling this week, making appointments on annuities, people that, you know, that usually we don't get calls from. I had a call from a couple that have a 401k. They're not sure they can roll it over. You know, lots of companies have a time limit on when you can roll it over. Now, if you're leaving the company, you can always take that 401k with you. But if you're still with that company, sometimes you cannot roll it over. So they're considering doing a rollover of that into an IRA, and then they're considering doing just a joint account for themselves. So most people don't realize all the advantages and disadvantages. You know, if you've got an IRA, you can also go to a Roth, change it to a Roth, pay the taxes up front, and you never have to pay taxes again. A Roth, in a lot of times, is a good idea. So if a person does not want the stock market, you know, they said they lost a lot during COVID. You know, when the stock market went down, their accounts have not recovered. Now, if they'd had annuities, they would not have had a problem like that, because there is no recovery, because it would not have went down. And people forget this. If you're in the stock market and it goes down, you've got to wait a long time for your stocks and mutual funds to recover. And this couple has not recovered since we had the pandemic, and that's quite a while. And they lost a lot. So always remember, if you've got annuities, you have a stopgap. It's not going to go down. It's not directly in the stock market. so you don't have to worry about it. What I love about annuities is they're tax deferred. You have compound interest. You have a lot of choices, and they've got that bonus that's went up 1%. So now you've got a bonus of 14% that's accredited immediately. So you've already made money up front. And then whatever it makes during the year, you get that. And remember, it's locked in interest every year. And I sometimes forget to tell people that. And you're in the stock market, you don't have a lock in. It's never locked in. You know, it can go up or down or sideways at any moment. When you have an annuity, whatever you've made during the year, it locks in at the end of 12 months. Every 12 months, it's going to lock your interest in. It's not going anywhere. So there's so many advantages of an annuity over a stock market.
Yeah, and if people...
You don't have to worry about it. You can just forget it, and it'll take care of itself.
I would imagine a lot of people, if they really love the excitement of the stock market, you know, watching and say, ooh, it went up again. They don't have to worry about, oh, my gosh, it went down. Because
you've got
that stock
gap. And, you know, when people see that they have these tremendous losses, it's very discouraging, and they don't know what to do. Well, the thing to do is take your licking, move it over to conservative annuities where that you don't have that problem. You know, don't lose your money. Get that principal out of there, and if you have to start over, start over, because it'll be either stand still or it'll make money. It's not going to go down. It's not going to cost you anything. That's what I love about annuities. They never go down as long as you've got a conservative annuity.
Yeah.
These are not stock market annuities. These are fixed index annuities. They're the best kind. And, I talk about these life insurance companies, about how much money they've got, and I did not know that our primary company that we love to use, you know, it's employee-owned now.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
It's employee-owned. It hadn't been before. I don't know when it switched to an employee-owned company, but I just noticed that this week, that the employees now own it.
Wow.
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
They're going to work a lot harder when they own the company.
Yeah, they have a vested interest in it now. They're not just...
They have a vested interest in what goes on at the company, how much money it makes, and what the profit is. And this company's been in business over 100 years.
Wow.
We have several companies we use. Some of them have just now got their A-plus ratings, and those are good companies. All the companies are very conservative that we represent. They have great features. They don't have any features I don't like. And you can take 10% a year out starting at the end of the first year. Now, let's say you do the bonus product. You got that 14%. Well, next year you want to put another $100,000 in. You get that bonus again. The third year you can do it. So for 3 years, you can. Every time you put money in, you're going to get that 14% bonus.
Wow. I mean, that's so that, just...
That's the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
It's average, as I'm always saying, at least 10%.
I mean, that's
incredible.
It
may pay more and it may pay less. But it's an average. If you average it out, it's 10%.
And the compound interest on top of all that is just...
Yes, it's compound interest. You can name your own beneficiaries. You can change beneficiaries. There's a lot of things you can do. But don't leave your 18-year-old this money. because let me tell you something. Unless you've got it tied down in an annuity, they'll have your money spent in 14 months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've seen horror stories.
I've seen horror stories. I've just seen two others where the mother is giving the two young kids $300,000 apiece.
Oh,
they need
no.
that like they need a hole in their head.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's the worst thing a mother could do to her children.
Wow.
You give them $10,000 a year at 18, fine. But don't give them this money. They're going to go out and blow it on a Corvette or maybe even higher than a vet. They're going to run up down the highway. They're going to go to Vegas. They're going to do crazy things. Then come back and say, well, you know, that money's all gone.
Yeah.
And remember, your grandparents worked hard for it.
Yeah.
They worked very, very hard to leave this money to the family.
Yeah.
And then they just blow it. So it breaks my heart to think how hard the older people have worked to give their children and their grandchildren something when they leave. And you need stipulations on it.
And
you know, you need to stipulate how it's going to be spent and how much they get every year. It's to their interest that you protect them from themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
we are our own worst enemy.
Protect them from themselves because they're a crazy bunch of people. And if you don't, the money will all be gone, let me tell you.
Yep.
And sometimes a trust will take care of this. Sometimes you can put everything in your trust and tell them how you want it spent, how you want it divided, how you want it done, and it'll be done that way. Lots of times, if you're wealthy, it's better to do a trust than just rely on a will.
Yeah.
Because the trust has got so many good parts to it. So I recommend that if you need a trust, go ahead and get it done. Don't wait till it's too late to even do a trust. Do it while you're of sound mind and know what you're doing.
Yeah. And the great thing with is like you were saying, you can set it up any way you want to. Some people set them up for college funds. Some people, you know, disperse it out so much every year. But yeah, that one lump sum all at once when you're like 18 or 19 or even 20. I mean, people just at that age don't have the capability to budget that and make it, you know, use it smart. I remember when I got my first credit card, I went crazy. I went on a shopping spree and I bought all kind of neon stuff, and I think I paid for all that for like 1,000 years. It was crazy.
Yeah, and see, a kid will do that.
Yeah,
you give a kid a credit card and they forget that the bill will come due.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's just all fun and games.
Yeah,
but next month the bill is due. And they don't know that, don't understand it.
No.
It's like giving them that brand new car when you should have given them a used one to start with. And so when they wreck it, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know? And then yeah, when they get a little more mature, they're going off to college, then give them the new car.
Yeah, yeah.
But at 16, a new car, they're going to run it up and down the road and see how fast it'll go and if it'll drive on two wheels. I mean, that's what kids do.
Yeah.
It's what so we do. A word of caution. You know, I know you love your children, you love your family, your grandchildren, but be conservative and help them out by not giving it all to them on a silver platter.
Yeah.
They'll thank you later in their life if they have to work a little bit. And, you know, used to, people always had their children, their grandchildren working in the summers. They worked on the ranch. They worked on the farm. If they had a store, they made them come into the store and work. I have some friends up in Childress, Texas. They owned a men's clothing store. And as soon as their boys were old enough, they had them in that store working.
Mm-hmm.
They learned an awful lot, and they turned out to be good kids. They went on to college, and the kids that didn't learn to work, they didn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to teach them how to work and how to make money.
I mean, yeah.
It's crazy when they bypass all that and just spend all their time running up and down the road.
Yeah, yeah. And we've all, you know, had our fair share of playing irresponsibly. But, you know, I mean, gosh, you can't just hand somebody, you know, a young person like that, like a couple $100,000. They just can't handle it. And annuities are a great way to do it.
They can't handle it, and you're going to regret what you've done to them.
Yeah.
I have another client out here in Midland that he talked to his son about working. Do you know what his son said to him?
What?
He said, "No, I have a trust set up. I don't have to work."
Oh, jeez.
I mean, he actually told his dad that. He didn't have to work. His dad has worked all of his life, worked hard, and accumulated all this.
Yeah.
And he can't understand his son's attitude and that the mother is not backing him up.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, the kids that turn out the best are the ones that work, that are taught, you know, examples, and are not giving it to them all at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
But annuities are great. They'll work for anybody. They'll work for a grandparent. They'll work for a young person. I have several people that have set up annuities for their grandchildren for college, and it's worked. They have religiously taken out that 10% toward their college every year, and they've done good, and they're finishing college now. But we set this up when they were 10 and 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
So the money was accumulating all those years toward their college fund.
Yeah. And people, it's not like the annuity takes any engagement. I mean, it doesn't take any time or effort, or you just set it and forget it. And it just kind of does itself, right?
It does. And annuity is going to make money no matter what you do. You know, you can make a lot of mistakes. But an annuity is hard to make a mistake because, first of all, it's not in the stock market. It's not directly got that risk. And it's got all these choices, which are great.
Yeah.
And when you're in indexes, it's a lot safer. And when you're inside that annuity, it just works. And it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're retired and you need income, an annuity is a perfect place to be.
Yeah. And you get your annual regular payouts if you want, and you don't have to, you know, be up all night. You don't have to worry, oh, my gosh, I should get up at midnight and see if there's anything left. And you can just go about and live your life, and you don't have to worry about, oh, my gosh, is something, you know, is the bottom going to fall out? Are we going to lose everything overnight? And so
you can't outlive an annuity.
Yeah.
You know, if you pass away, your wife still got the annuity. She's still got that income. She's got guaranteed income all the time. You don't have to worry about somebody taking advantage of her, taking her money. I mean, it's set for her. She doesn't have to let the stranger in the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know those horror stories.
So, yeah. Oh, my.
You know?
And, you know, the annuity is ironclad. It's set in stone, but you still have the flexibility where if there's some kind of a falling out or some situation changes, you can change the annuity. So if you set it up a certain way, say maybe, you know, today and then in 10 years from now, you know, something happens and you no longer want it to go to, you know, whatever, you have the flexibility to change it at any point, right?
That's exactly right. You can change who your beneficiary is on any given day. You just send a notice in and say, I want to change my beneficiaries. You can do that. And you can leave it to your grandchildren. You can leave it just to your wife. There's so many things you can do. Or you can leave it to your children and grandchildren. You can have as many beneficiaries as you want. And what I like is if the husband dies, the wife doesn't have to think about it. It's handled automatically. It'll pay for years to come, and she'll be comfortable. That's what I love about annuities.
Yeah.
Now, let's say you're going to do life settlements. We haven't even talked about them. If you're a little bit younger and you're doing life settlements, it pays better. But what I love about a life settlement, it's, again, a life insurance product. So, you know, people come to me, I want to do life settlements. Okay, you must qualify to do a life settlement. And they say, okay, what are the qualifications? You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house to qualify to do a life settlement. The minimum investment on a life settlement is $100,000. And that's where if you get out here and you had $25,000 and you needed it tomorrow, you can't. It's going to be invested. So it's for people that are substantial. They're not going to need that money tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we have lots and lots of maturities. I think the average is about 22% profit.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I mean, 22%?
Because we go back. Yeah, it's about 22. And the way it works is we go out here and we bid on these life insurance policies on people that have stage 4 cancer. If you've got stage 4 cancer, we're going to look it up. We're going to see how bad it is. If it's spread, we're really interested in it. So we're going to look at it. We're going to bid it. If we get it, we send out a notice and say, we'd like for you to invest this much in this policy. So you're going to read the life expectancy we've sent out. You're going to read all about it. And if you like it, you're going to say, yes, we'd like to go in that policy. And we've been doing this a long time. You know, I think we started in 2013 doing life settlements.
Wow.
We've learned a lot over the year. We're getting better at it, you know. Most of ours now are coming in on time or a little bit early. We've still got several older policies that we're hoping that we're going to see the light of day on any time. But the rest of them are doing well.
Yeah.
Our people are making a lot of money. People have made a lot of money with us. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, and you're going to get your principal back. You're going to get your profit back when the people pass away. And it's all handled at the bank. Nevada Trust handles all the accounts. They handle your money. They're responsible for your money. And if you say, okay, I want to go in this policy, they verify it. They look it up. And then let's say you need to take some cash out. They're going to call you about it. Make sure it's you. They check on everything. We've been doing business with them since we started. And so they are in charge of all the money. They're in charge of all the accounts. When the people die, we get the death certificate. The money goes to the bank, not to us. And then the bank distributes that money in everybody's account.
It's very
simple. We do
simple.
It over and over and again so we know it works.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing this for so long, and this process is so streamlined, and everything is mapped out, and everything, all the guidelines, all the regulations are all in place. Nothing affects the investment itself. So if, say, Monday morning the economy was to just, you know, crash, then the policy itself, it doesn't change. When it matures, it still pays the full value. They don't discount it for, you know, situational things. And so you've been doing this for so long, and people have been making so much money. It's just it's solid and secure. So that's what it's all about. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of good things for people to look at.
And we normally around this time we get into trivia. We're running about 10 minutes late. So can we do a trivia?
We'll do a fast one. Do you want me to do a fast one?
Yeah, let's do a quick trivia today.
Okay, we're going to do quick trivia. Okay, where do you think ketchup came from?
Oh, my gosh. Germany.
China.
Really?
China is the one that started ketchup. And ketchup had no tomatoes in it when it started. It had nothing.
What?
It had the strangest things in it anyway, but that's where it started. And it wasn't until 1812 that tomatoes were put in ketchup and invented. How about that?
Really? I thought that was the whole point. I thought that was the...
No, no.
Wow.
Back then, they thought it was. Tomato plants were brought to England from South America in the 1500s, but they weren't eaten for centuries. They thought they were poisonous. Yeah, they did. They thought it was poisonous. So they wouldn't put tomatoes in this that they called. And they used fermented fish sauce in southern China.
Oh.
And they would ferment it, and they made it from fish, meat pie, byproducts, and soybeans. And they called it kochup, K-O-E-C-H-E-U-P, and had no ketchup in it at all. But they were inventing all this stuff. But the golden age of ketchup finally came. 18th century was when the golden age for ketchup started.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And in the 1700s, they were using 100 oysters and white wine and lemon peels spiked with mace and cloves.
Wow.
And then they made it from elderberries, anchovies, and mushroom ketchup was Jane Austen's favorite.
Really?
But in 1812, the first recipe for ketchup was made from James Meese, a Philadelphia scientist. He's the one that developed the recipe.
Wow.
And he said the choicest ketchup came from love apples. And that was tomatoes, and they called them love apples.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
That's before vinegar. And they were using all this preservation where they wouldn't decompose real fast. And a new company came along, and it was Heinz, 1876.
Really?
And they made the first tomato ketchup.
Wow.
1876. And they used distilled vinegar, brown sugar, salt, and spices. They also pioneered the use of glass bottles so we could see what we were buying.
Do you know?
Where we could look at it and tell what that stuff was.
They say.
Now then, how much ketchup do you think a consumer uses per year?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea.
70 pounds.
Really?
70 pounds of ketchup per year per person.
Wow. I didn't know it was that much. Goodness gracious.
And to finish it off, Heinz is known for 57 varieties. But by the time they started using that number, they already had 60 products, but nobody knew it. So ketchup came from China. It had everything in the world, fish, all this other stuff, but it had no tomatoes in it.
So ketchup wasn't actually ketchup until like 1876.
That's right. Till 1876, it did not become known as we know it today.
See, now I've taken ketchup for granted for all these years. I had no idea that it didn't even start out with any tomatoes in it at all. It's weird how it had morphed, because tomatoes is the whole base.
And they were using it at one point as a medicine. They were using it as a medicine. The Chinese, of course.
Now, we put ketchup on almost everything, so in some cases, ketchup is medicine.
That's right. And, you know, it's different in the South where we live in Texas than it is like New York and all those people. The things we put ketchup on, they just go into hysteria. They can't believe we put ketchup on everything in Texas.
Yeah. Do you put ketchup on eggs?
They don't do that there. Yes.
Do you really? Oh, wow.
On scrambled eggs, of course.
I've never tried it.
I love ketchup. I mean, my family always says, you know, Faye would put ketchup on anything, and I almost would. Now, when I do a hamburger, it's got to have mustard and ketchup.
Yes. Now, that's a magical combination. But I'm sure you've probably done this, don't go into a steakhouse, order a steak, and then ask for ketchup. Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. They would be so insulted. They would probably throw you out.
You will be thrown out.
Some restaurants don't even like it if you call for Heinz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people are incensed if you want to put something like Heinz on it. A lot of famous restaurants frown on that.
They say, you know, you got the bottle of Heinz, and they say, you know how we all like tap the bottom of the bottle? They say that to get it to actually come out, tap on the 57 that's stamped like kind of like towards, not like sort of in the middle of the bottle.
Yeah.
If you tap the 57 instead of the bottom, it'll come out better. I've tried it. It actually works.
Wow. Now that's something we didn't know.
Yeah. So try that sometime if you're ever in a
situation. Well, anyway, I just want people to know where it came from, that it did not come from America, that we did not think it up.
I thought it was all 100% American. I thought it was all about tomatoes. I had no idea that none of that was true. Wow.
That's true.
You ever have homemade ketchup?
Yes, I love it.
It's delicious.
I used to make it every once in a while. But
really?
It takes time to do that, and so I don't do it anymore. But I love homemade ketchup.
Yeah. My wife's grandmother used to make homemade ketchup. It was she left it kind of chunky, but everybody, like all the neighbors and all the family, would have her like jar some, and they would all come. And, you know, anytime they would come by, they would be like, you know, hey, you got any ketchup? And so she would just hand them out a mason jar of ketchup. It was delicious.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. And she just read the back of the bottle just to see what the ingredients were. She didn't have a recipe, just kind of made it up. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I had a recipe that I got, I think, from Progressive Farmer.
Really?
The old Progressive Farmer, I think. You know, we used to take that magazine, and I think that's where I got my recipe from, that old Farmer's Progressive magazine.
Well, I bet that was delicious. Mm.
It was, and I still have a cookbook from them, old-fashioned cookbook that goes back years and years, the way people used to cook in the 50s and 60s. So I've got some old recipes.
Wow. Well, you don't find recipes like that anymore. That's like, it's kind of like
don't.
A lost art. My goodness. Wow. Well, geez, I've always thought ketchup was kind of one of the most boring condiments there ever was, but boy, you made it interesting and exciting. I had no idea. Wow, my mind is a little bit blown. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right, with life settlements, a couple minutes ago you covered the accreditation, so we know about that. But there are two risks that people need to know about. We like to stress those.
The biggest risk that could happen to you is the premiums. If it goes over, you do have to pay premiums. So you need to know up front what your premiums would be when you buy a policy. When you go into a policy, we give you all that information. We tell you what the bottom line is, so how much it's worth, what you're investing, what your profit is, and if it goes over, we tell you what the premiums are. So we're going to cover that up front. We cover everything that could happen. The other thing is, it is not liquid till it matures. When it matures, it's liquid. Other than that, that's the two things you need to know.
Yeah. And yeah, obviously, since people are accredited in order to do this, you know, it doesn't really affect a whole lot. The way, though, that most people are successful with a life settlement is to be well diversified. And so it's not just getting into one policy and then it matures and then you go off and retire. Mm-hmm. It's being in as many possible policies as you can. So, you know, as one matures, you reinvest. And then as that matures, you reinvest. And it's just this gigantic wheel that spins, and people have made a ton of money with it. So with annuities, are there any risks or anything that people...
Not really. You don't have the risk factor even that you have with a life settlement. It's pretty straightforward. You know, we're looking toward a life insurance companies that have got enough money to pay all claims. So we don't have to worry about it. We're not doing business with little companies.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd say it's a very, very, very solid conservative investment. I think
it is
probably
very solid, very conservative, because everything we do is pretty conservative.
Yeah. And just real quick, we sometimes compare the two investments, life settlements and annuities. It's not that people have to choose one or the other. You got plenty of investors that do both. And so that's okay, too.
And everybody loves life settlements. If they qualify, they want to do a life settlement. And I don't blame them for that, because the profit is really good. Yeah. You know, you're going to make like 15% to 30% on your investment. So that's a great thing. But then we've got people that are really conservative and they do annuities.
Yeah.
So you can do both, or you can say, I'm on this side. Or I'm on that side as far as investments.
Yeah, there's a lot of options, a lot of flexibility. The point with either one is that you protect your principal. And you say all the time that that's the most important thing, is protect your principal. And so...
That's right. You've got to protect your principal. Always do things that your principal's guaranteed. That's the way to do it.
Cool. All right. So for people to decide what they wanted to do, if they want to come over and get some more information, if they have questions, or if they just want to go ahead, if they're ready to go and they've been listening for a long time, they're pretty comfortable, they just want to go ahead and start, they do need to come make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. I always suggest everybody go there, learn about annuities, learn about life settlements, and learn about us.